winds of 160 miles an hour, that could mean dangerous beach conditions on the east coast in a couple of days and on Caribbean islands before then.
Large swells likely to reach the Lesser Antilles, the Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico through the weekend.
National Hurricane Center spokeswoman Maria Torres. A new study leads AAA to strongly recommend keeping kids under 10 in restraints while in cars.
Child restraints do save lives. They reduced fatalities by 71% for infants younger than 1 year of age and by 54% for children 1 to 4.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve. She is a Utah mother of six, something of a YouTube influencer on parenting advice. Now Ruby Frankie scheduled to be in court to answer charges that she and a colleague abused and starved her children. They are charged with six felony counts of aggravated child abuse. A new Justice Department report concludes New Jersey failed its veterans during the COVID-19 pandemic. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The scathing report outlines failures at VA facilities in Menlo Park and in Paramus. They include poor communication and staff incompetence that allowed the virus to spread virtually unchecked.
With thousands being bused from the southern border to big cities thousands of miles away, New York City schools have opened classrooms to nearly 20,000 new kids with parents seeking asylum.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams sounded off on the flow of migrants to NYC.
Started with a madman down in Texas, decided he wanted to bus people up to New York City.
Without federal dollars to help, the mayor says there is no space or money to house them.
Correspondent Omar Villafranca, a one-time TV sitcom star, now faces 30 years to life in prison in a decades-old rape case involving two then-fellow members of the Church of Scientology.
It took two decades for Danny Masterson to be found guilty of rape. The actor, best known for his role in That 70s Show, had been convicted in May of raping two women back in 2003. A jury deadlocked on a third count.
Correspondent Carter Evans in L.A., and this is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but how do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less, but the biggest payoff is improved health. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. Help them out. Slow down, stay focused, and eliminate distractions. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 51. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 71. Mainly clear tomorrow night, 48. Mainly sunny skies and calm Saturday with daytime highs approaching 80. 73, chance for scattered storms Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We've got Greg Bach on the board. And since we had Jane in our opener for this hour, a reminder, Jane will be back next week. We've missed her terribly. We're very excited for her to be back. But Greg, you've been doing a wonderful job. But yes, Jane still works here. Jane's coming back. Jane just needed a very well-deserved vacation because she is, even at 63, a workhorse. Yeah. And so that woman is the epitome of the word professional as far as how much she shows up and puts into this. And the show would not be the same without her. So we're very excited to have her back next week. But who's here this week? As always, it's 11 o'clock on a Thursday, so it is time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Doctor, how are you doing?
I'm so excited. We've got so many great things to talk about today.
We do. So we have some questions that came in last week that we did not have time to answer, so we're going to get to those. If you have any questions that you want us to answer, text them in now so we can make sure to try to make time to answer them, because we only have two segments today. So the doctor will be here until 11:30, but 844-967-2789. Any of your health questions that you anonymously, if you want to text in, if you want to call in and just have Greg repeat the question, or come on air with us. It's totally up to you. 844-96-PARTY. But I have my own, I guess, kind of just general question. So I went to a physical therapist this week because I've been some of the advice, as when you're pregnant, as you probably know, lots of people give lots of advice as far as what worked for them. And this is from everything from being pregnant, recovering from pregnancy, all of the things. And one of the pieces of advice I got was, do not skimp on physical therapy. And in America, we're not always great at taking care of women after they give birth. And one of those things having to do with your pelvic floor. And so I made the decision to go see a physical therapist even before I'm giving birth to start figuring out how my pelvic floor is doing. But not only that, because I feel like we think about pelvic floor with women a lot, but having a husband who is recovering from an anterior lumbar spine surgery, which means they went through the front. And so he's basically dealing with a C-section like incision right now.
Poor guy.
He also has pelvic floor like things that are popping up. And so what is the pelvic floor? We already learned, I think, already that, Greg, it's not flooring that goes in your house.
Whatever. I'm just working out an endorsement for Blifford. That's all I want.
So what is the importance? Yeah.
We'll get to Greg's pelvic floor later. But we all, men and women, have a pelvic floor. It's really just the muscles that hold up your bladder, and women, your uterus, your bowel. And it's a complicated network of muscles. It's so complicated that when I was in medical school, the first thing that you do as a first year medical student is you have a class called Gross Anatomy, and you literally
gross anatomy.
Anatomy.
Yes. G-R-O-S-S or G-R-O-W-T-H.
G-R-O-S-S. Like everything. It means everything. We do like a general survey, and we literally like dissect a cadaver. People donate their bodies to science, and we take our time and we learn by dissecting bit by bit. But we don't do the pelvis because the pelvis is so hard and so complicated that you have to take actually an extra class. Unless it's changed in the 20 years since I've gone to medical school, the pelvis is just a really hard place. And it's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to talk about because, you know, it's got a lot of organs that are difficult for us to talk about in a social way. But it has a huge impact on lots of different parts of our lives, like constipation, urinary problems, pain for men and women. If we don't have a strong, appropriately functioning pelvic floor, it can cause tons of common problems.
And so it's different than your abs. Like your abs sit on top of your pelvic floor. Is that basically visually how you should think about it?
Yes. I mean, you know where your belly button is?
Yes.
Those are...
Well, not anymore. I don't really have a belly button these days, but go on.
You know where your belly button is usually located? So those are your abs, your rectus muscles, and your transverse abdominis muscles, like on your, you know, your front. But your pelvic floor is really your bottom. So like for women, if you put your finger in your vagina and just squeeze, you can usually feel your pelvic floor muscles squeezing around your finger. Same thing as far as your rectum goes and your urethra, all of that, all of those muscles together function as the pelvic floor, but they have to squeeze when they're supposed to squeeze and they're supposed to relax when they're supposed to relax.
And that's
Kristen.
What I found out this week is that I don't have so much of a problem with the strength. It's the letting go part of being able to actually relax that I never knew was a issue. And now I do. And so it's interesting, though, because it's something that they like were trying to figure out, because even both, I mean, in general in life, but also to like during childbirth, being able to like release your pelvic floor is going to be important. Right?
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've seen who are struggling with the pain of early labor with their contractions, and they're really fighting it and they're really having a hard time. And then they get an epidural that allows their body to relax, and their body just goes whoosh, and their cervix opens up and their labor progresses. So there is definitely a physical component to the stress involved there, whether you are over exercising and you are putting too much tension into your pelvic floor because you're trying to do the right thing, right? Or maybe you have a chronic medical problem like constipation or vulvodynia or some sort of endometriosis, some sort of condition that causes chronic pain, that causes you to be, you know, consistently squeezing and pulling back from that pain. Well, there's this negative, there's this feedback loop where your body is responding to that pain by contracting that muscle, and that muscle contraction is causing more pain, ironically. But because we don't think of it in terms of pelvic floor, and we don't think of it as something that can be resolved with physical therapy, with exercises, with breathing, we often seek other things. Like if we're constipated, we look for, you know, a laxative or something else to help us relieve that problem. And sometimes it's multifactorial. These problems, although they're very common, can have a lot of different origins. It's really great for me as an OBGYN doctor to know that you are seeking help from a pelvic floor physical therapist, because this is such an underutilized resource and so, so important for so many of us.
And I really didn't, and until someone suggested it to me, it was not something that was like an obvious, versus I've heard in Europe, it is a very obvious thing that is like prescribed to everyone instead of you having to take the burden on yourself to seek it out and ask for it.
Well, think of conventional medicine. You go to the doctor and your doctor's like, I don't know, what do you need? Surgery, medicine, or a referral to physical therapy? And the physical therapy referral is the hard thing, because you have to actually put time and effort into it, and you have to do your breathing exercises, and you have to practice those relaxation techniques. And it seems very like earthy and not like real medicine, but it is. It all fits together. So maybe there is a medicine that you have to take, or maybe there is a surgery that you need, But the physical therapy component is just as important as those other pieces.
And so does it seem, as I said, like, I feel like when I've heard about pelvic floor stuff, I've heard about it in context with childbirth, postpartum, you know, women after they give birth, the stories of like peeing your pants a little bit every time you do a jumping jack or stuff like that. But like, it's also the same thing for men. And so how does it differ when we're talking about men, whether it's with a surgery or in general of like a pelvic floor that's weak or a pelvic floor that can't relax?
It doesn't really differ. I mean, obviously our anatomy is different and, you know, they don't go through the process of childbirth, but they still, and I am not a man, I do not take care of male patients. So to be very clear, but they still have issues with constipation and urinary problems. I mean, prostate issues are very common in men, especially as they age. If they're having pain or difficulty with urination, they may be clenching their pelvic floor, and that may be leading to a very similar problem that you're dealing with right now.
And so that's a suggestion of also physical therapy, mm-hmm. a starting place.
Yeah, physical therapy, massage, relaxation, breathing. I mean, so many different things that, you know, again, we don't think about that because it doesn't fit into our vision of what doctors provide, what medicine is, but really it all goes together. We are holistic beings that require a lot of different types of inputs, but first we need a good diagnosis. Yeah. And it's brilliant that you went to the physical therapist while you're still pregnant. I wish everyone had the ability to do that because then, you know, like I'm going into this really important event in my life where I really need to understand what's happening with my pelvic floor. And then afterwards you'll have made that contact before. And if you're having issues and you're looking for ideas about what can I do to strengthen my pelvic floor, you already have a strong pelvic floor. Do you need to do Kegels? No, you should not do Kegels. But maybe somebody who's having urinary leaking, maybe Kegels are the right solution for them. The only way that you know what the right solution is by talking with an expert, getting that evaluation, figuring out what the problem is, and then getting a treatment plan set up for yourself.
And I will say, so I got to have like an evaluation and there's this thing with like a flower. Have you seen this before?
No.
Basically it's like in your ability to like do a Kegel and like tighten up or relax. And if you could tighten up, the flower closes. And then but you need to be able to relax for the flower to actually open again. I did not have many blooming flowers. That was my takeaway from my physical therapist. And so I'm happy. I am very happy I went. And I think it is something that's good to talk about because had I not had someone recommend it to me, I mean, I don't think I would have thought about it at all. And now I have the opportunity to, I'm going to go in again and we're going to try to find like different positions where I'm better at relaxing to like take that information into trying to have this baby instead of just relying on an epidural. But I'm not no hero. I probably will be having an epidural, let's be honest.
We have to allow your pelvic floor to bloom and not just be a bud.
Exactly. All right, when we come back, we have some questions that we're going to get to from last week of yours. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly on any health topics, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As As Goes Wisconsin, I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and it is Thursday at 11:20. So Dr. Kristen Lyerly is still here for our segment, Public Service Announcement, where we take, you know, a lot of my questions about pregnancy, but also women's health, but also health in general. And we always welcome your questions for the doctor at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And last week we had a couple questions come in before we had time to actually answer them. So let's jump right into those. And the first one is there any correlation between getting COVID and very shortly after getting shingles?
That is a really good question. And it seems like there is, especially in older people. We know older people, like older than 50, are more likely to develop shingles. So there was a study done in 2022 that showed that people 50 or older with COVID had a 15% higher risk of developing shingles. And there was another study that showed that people with severe COVID, like in the hospital, had a double the risk, so twice as high of a risk of developing shingles. The theory is that COVID debilitates your immune system, and shingles is this really insidious virus that many of us get when we're kids. Chickenpox, it's the chickenpox virus. It doesn't leave. We don't get cured of it. It just sits there in our nerve roots while we're healthy and we have strong immune systems, and it just waits for us to get sick. Hmm. And at that point when our immune system is vulnerable, it's like, ah, now's a good time. And it just busts out one of those nerve roots and creates this horrible shingles disease. So that's what the basis is. COVID weakens your immune system and just gives that other virus an opportunity to strike.
So we all, if I'm going to hear any right, so basically if you've had chickenpox, which people our age definitely did, younger people now that since the vaccine have less. You've had it, wait, what? You had chickenpox twice?
I got chickenpox twice when I was little.
Is that normal?
Yeah. I mean, not normal, but it happens.
Is Greg normal?
No. Is that your superhero origin story?
Yeah, because my superhero life's really panning out for me right now.
Chickenpox man.
My superpower always going ugh when I wake up or get up.
That's the thing. So you get shingles, or you kind of always have it, and it just flares up.
You have the virus. It's kind of like herpes. It is herpes. So like think of genital herpes. You know that if you get it, you never get rid of it. You have it forever, but you can take medicines. And when your immune system is intact, you generally don't have to worry about it. Your partner needs to know about it. You can still transmit it, but it usually doesn't cause a problem until your immune system is compromised. Huh. Same thing for shingles, but we tend to see it with herpes. We see it like in pregnancy sometimes, or when other medical illnesses happen. With shingles, it's when you get older. And it's not just COVID. It can be a ton of other things that activate that latent virus that's just sitting there waiting. Some people get it, some people don't. But importantly, there is a vaccine that prevents shingles. It's very effective. It's 97% effective people between 50 and 70. Yes, it is easy. You can get it. The insurance covers it. Anybody older than 50 can get it. And man, if you've ever had shingles, I'm sure our listeners out there who have had shingles are like, please get the vaccine, because it is incredibly painful.
I've heard that.
My sister got it.
Your sister had it?
Yeah, my sister got it. She described it to me, and it sounded horrifying.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, on that note, our next question was, do you have any tips for dealing with perimenopause and hormone imbalances?
Yes, I do.
What is perimenopause? What is that? How is that different than menopause?
It is the process. So the perimenopause means like the time around menopause. Menopause is defined as 1 year after your last menstrual period. So you don't actually know that you're in menopause until it's been a year since you've had a period. And it's a lot trickier to diagnose if you don't have a uterus, because then you're not having periods, or if you're taking medicine that prevents you from having periods. So it can be kind of a tricky diagnosis to figure out exactly when you went through menopause.
Huh.
perimenopause is that time that starts in like your, you know, mid 40s or so, goes to about your mid 50s. And women experience a lot of changes as our hormones are just changing. Sometimes they're failing. Sometimes there's too much. We can have hot flashes. That's one of the most common symptoms. Vaginal dryness is a common symptom. Night sweats. You may be great one day and not so good the next. Your energy can fluctuate. You can be depressed. There are so many different ways that perimenopause can manifest in women. And that's why it's really important to talk with your healthcare provider about what your symptoms are so that we can direct the treatment to solve your particular problems. Also taking into account, what are your risks? Like, for example, if you are at risk for osteoporosis, many of us are, maybe if we have low BMIs, if we are smokers, if we're heavy alcohol users, if we have a family history, previous fractures, then maybe we need to think more strongly about, are you a candidate for hormone therapy? Or is there a different kind of osteoporosis treatment? The perimenopausal, the period that we go through, is there's so many different things that can happen. So it's really critical that women talk with their providers about what are their risk factors, what are the symptoms that they're experiencing, and what are the options for me personally.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. All right, Greg, do we have time? You said there was a caller who had a message to relay.
It was Tom from the contest before. He's a listener. He loves the show, and he says that he loves this segment. He loves listening to you talk about what you talk about. He learns, and he wishes it was an hour long.
Well, maybe we'll have to consider that to be an option. All right. Thank you, Tom, for that message. Thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for being here. As always, we will see you next week. We'll see if I have any more pregnancy questions because we'll be at the 2-week countdown. But have a great weekend.
I'm sure you will. I can't wait. I'm so excited for you.
3 weeks, baby. All right. Thank you so much. When we come back, J.R. Radcliffe is here with a sports update. Don't go anywhere. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Scani travels to Pullman to face the Cougars. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from 6 types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 51. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 71. Mainly clear tomorrow night, 48. Mainly sunny skies and calm Saturday with daytime highs approaching 80. 73, chance for scattered storms Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports. May they top their opponents numerically in the allotted time. Lest they disenfranchise their audience and see their revenues decline. May the partakers be sturdy and rapid in the spirited energies they exert. May they be victorious in perpetuity.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and that song means it is time for a sports update. And this week we have J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, back to give us, I think, the top three hits from Brewers and Packers and Badgers. Is there other sports stuff besides those three headlines?
I mean, I suppose we could talk about Giannis investing in a golf league, but no.
I did not see that.
Yeah, it's not a thing yet. It'll be a thing, like, in January. But September is my favorite month for sports, because baseball's, like, this is the best part of the baseball season. College football has started. The NFL has started. It is a good time.
We're back, baby. Mm-hmm. And then by next month, we'll have the World Series, and basketball will be back, and we get to hibernate with all the sports again.
It's true, yes. But this is a good one. Right. This is a good time. And, you know, even though the Brewers are not setting the world on fire, all three teams are interesting at this point, so there's still a lot to discuss.
So where should we start? Do you want to start with Brewers, Packers?
Well, the Packers
are interesting to you right now.
I mean, the Brewers are more interesting to me right now because of where we are in the season. But the Packers are king, right? So
okay.
I suppose we should start with the Packers. They are, of course, kicking off the season on Sunday against the Chicago Bears.
A lot of anticipation.
Yes. Timeless rivalry situation. The Packers have beaten the Bears 8 times in a row. And I forget what it is. It's like 15 of 16 or something outrageous. The Packers are probably the better team this year, too. I don't know. We really have no idea. It could go any number of directions. So it is a mystery. It is a mystery what we're going to see on Sunday. But certainly both fan bases feel like there have been some back and forths on the social media apparatus. And I anticipate it's going to be heated all the same.
I have a very dear friend of mine is a very big Bears fan, and the memes have already been passed back and forth. As far as he's very excited and very hopeful that this is finally their time to shine and beat the Packers, and I think he is holding out and will be very devastated if Jordan Love turns out to be even
an above average quarterback, and then we would have three in a row that are like pretty good.
Yeah.
But you wrote an article this week kind of summarizing what the folks are saying, what the national writers are saying about the Packers, and what kind of thesis have you collected as far as what, not that anyone has a crystal ball, but what are the people in the national news saying about our Packers?
I think there's more support for the Packers making the playoffs than I would have thought. Some of the websites I visited, kind of close to half or more than half, thought the Packers would be a playoff team. Not very many people think they're going to win the division, but that makes sense. That's fair. The Lions are probably the team that you would look at as the division favorite, but okay. There's just, and we've said this before on this show, like the division just isn't very good. The Lions are interesting for sure, and this could be a leap forward for them, but it still requires them to take another step forward that we haven't necessarily seen yet. They're certainly positioned to do it, but I don't know. They've got a lot of young guys, a lot of moving pieces there too. The Vikings, I think, are taking a step back, and the Bears are kind of still bad. And the Packers are in a transition phase, so it's really hard to pinpoint which team is going to really rise up and win a bunch of games in this division and maybe win the division or even get to the playoffs. I think seeing a lot of people picking the Packers at around 9-8, that feels right to me. You know, maybe all the stars align, they have a light schedule, maybe they do end up winning 10 games, everything clicks. And maybe they don't quite hit that mark, and I still think that would be okay if they won 7 or 8 games. But yeah, I guess I think the national there isn't a consensus, but I think the feeling is this team could be a playoff team. That's just where the division stands. I don't think a lot of people think Jordan Love is going to be a failure. I think most people assume he will be at least an average quarterback, and that's I think a reasonable thing to say with Matt LaFleur's system. I think it's really likely that he is at least an average quarterback.
Well, that's encouraging. That's what we like to hear as far as like, it's not, I do like that you said the Bears are still gonna be bad, and everything that rang through my head was the Bears still suck.
Oh, they're terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin Fields ain't it. I mean, the Bears fans really want that to be true. And there's just really no evidence to suggest that Justin Fields is going to be an elite caliber NFL quarterback. It's just not there. And they don't have a lot of other players that are really that scary. They've got a receiver, DJ Moore, who could cause some problems for the Packers. But their defense is pretty bad, has been bad the last couple of years. I know we think of the Monsters of the Midway, we think of them as having a good defense, but not lately. The Packers should beat them, honestly. Now, the Packers might be without their two best receivers, Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs. Both had hamstring issues and didn't practice Wednesday, so that's concerning. That's something you got to think about. I mean, it's already such a young receiving core. Without those two guys, I honestly don't even know who would catch all the passes. I really don't know, but... the Packers should still be better than the Bears, so it should be interesting.
That will be it'll be a fun game to watch. All right, so moving on to where, like you said, the Brewers and where we are in the season. After a couple really good games last week, I guess except for Sunday, and then this week we're not looking as good against Pittsburgh, which has not been as fun to watch. But where how are you feeling? What are the thoughts as far as where we're at with the Brewers season?
So the Brewers are in danger of losing the NL Central at this point. The Chicago Cubs have been white hot, have been for a long time. The Brewers had a winning streak too, which kind of held some of that off, but now the Brewers have kind of gone back more to their normal sort of midpoint, and the Cubs just keep winning. The Cubs are mashing the ball. Their pitching has really rounded into form. I think the Brewers are going to lose the division. I think the Cubs will catch them, bypass them. As we sit now, it's a 1.5 game lead for the Brewers. It had been as many as 5 games, but the Cubs have kind of stormed back. The Cubs play on Thursday. The Brewers don't. It could be one game going into this series in New York against the Yankees for the Brewers. The Cubs have a little bit of a tougher schedule going forward, and the two teams meet at the end of the year for 3 games at American Family Field, and that could very well decide the division. Now, if they don't win the division, it really isn't the end of the world. They're going to the playoffs. It's going to take a monumental collapse to miss the playoffs. So there's 23 games left. Even if the Brewers were a bad team, which of course they're not, they could easily win, you know, more than half. Like, we're in that part of the season where it's a little bit more random going forward. You know, there isn't a lot of prediction of how a 23 game sample goes. So the Brewers have gotten themselves to this point in first place in great shape. The wild card is going to be something they can at least get, if not the division. For me, it would be nice, and selfishly, because I'd like to see them at home and cover the games in the first round. Yeah. They would have to either win their division or get the top wild card spot. Right now, Philadelphia and the Brewers are tied for that. The Brewers did get that tiebreaker with Philadelphia by winning that series that you alluded to, winning 2 of 3. So the Brewers are in still okay shape there. If they don't get one of those two spots, they'll have to go on the road, but they're going to get one of those spots if not one of these first two. They're going to the playoffs. I'm fairly confident there. The division is another story. I'm not sure they're going to get it, but it's not like the end-all, be-all prize either. It's the same thing that the top wildcard team gets. They get to host a first-round best-of-three series. That's the best they could get there. So that's just where we're headed.
Is there anything in particular that you're seeing that they're doing differently or need to do differently to secure what spot they have?
Well, I mean, they definitely need to win some games.
Besides winning, they just need to win. They
win games.
Like, oh, okay.
You know,
great,
losing two or three against Pittsburgh is rough because that's a team that the Brewers have had success against, should have success against. The Yankees are just above 500 now. They play the Nationals. The Marlins are hot right now, but they had been tail spinning. Like, they should beat these teams. They should have a good handle on it. Marlins have a couple really key injuries right now. Their offense. It's a bad offense. Like, there's no secret anymore. Like, that's just what they are. Even in the month of August, which is when they had this 9-game winning streak and, you know, sort of quote unquote got back on track. Like, they're one of the bottom 10 offenses in baseball, bottom five even. So, or maybe bottom six. They're right there. But like, they're going to be the worst offense in the playoffs. That's just how it is. They're going to win with pitching and with defense. That's what they've done all year. So they just kind of have to keep on that path. There's no magic, you know, bullet here to add to their offense or, you know, make them markedly better. They just don't have it offensively. So they're going to have to win close games, win the way they've been doing. And you know, ideally they beat up on some of these teams that aren't as good as them. Washington is a team that is coming to American Family Field. The Brewers went there and lost 2 of 3 in Washington too. Washington's not a good team. And they actually stole one in the 9th inning against Devin Williams with a bunch of light contact. That was a really frustrating game. The Brewers need to win that series. They need to win 4 out of 7 against the Marlins, if not 5 out of 7. They need to beat up on these teams that are lesser than them, because you want to make that Cubs series, if you can, irrelevant, where you go to those last three games of the season at AmFam Field, but Cubs fans are going to come flooding in. You don't want it to be 3 games or less like it is right now. You want to have a lead that's much more comfortable so that you can call yourselves division champs long before you have to deal with the Cubs one more time.
Just Chicago. That's like the theme of today. It's just the Bears, the Cubs.
God, Chicago. Can't we just bypass Chicago? Gotta find a way around it without having to go through it.
I have a question real quick. I feel like with the Brewers, it's always about defense. We're not a famously offensive team. It's not the first thing we think of. Our pitching is always really well lauded.
Sure. I mean, that has definitely been the case the last couple of years. 2021, sneakily, was almost one of the best teams, the best team in Brewers history. And it didn't end up there in terms of regular season wins, purely on the basis of incredible pitching. That has definitely been the case since 2018, maybe 2019, but since then. But 2018 is the reverse. 2018, when they went to the NLCS, they had Christian Yelich playing at an unbelievable level. Their offense was mashing. Their pitching staff was Yoli Chacin, Wade Miley, and a couple guys you probably forgot about. Like, there wasn't... They had a good bullpen, but there wasn't really a true starting core. So they've actually inverted, I would say, from that team, from the 17, 18, even maybe the 19 team, to where they are now, which is they've got 3 ace pitchers, 2 pretty good ones after that, or at least 1 pretty good one after that, really good bullpen and good defense. This is the best defense they've had in a long time, just pure, like, across the diamond, particularly Willy Adames and Bryce Turang are really special in the middle. Like, this is about as good as it gets for them.
All right, and then our last topic for the day, because I feel like the Badgers played, mm-hmm. they won, mm-hmm. new coach, new players, new system, but I feel like the only headline that really came out of that game was the speaker system was really loud.
It was loud, apparently.
Everything new that people were anticipating, it was like, oh, that was awful. Like, we couldn't even talk to each other. Todd Elba did a whole, like, hour on it and his show. And so besides the sound system, what were your takeaways from the first Badger football game?
Well, previously I had said that it's really all about my preferences and me, so I will start with me and noting that the press box is completely renovated and beautiful and amazing.
Ooh.
And has gone from, quite honestly, kind of a dump to quite luxurious. And so I enjoyed my experience at the Badger game and could not tell at all that the speaker system was too loud. I don't know if they soundproofed it or something. I didn't even take that away at all. So Luke Fickell was a little bit upset after the game. He felt like the team should have played better. Buffalo is an opponent that you put on your schedule as a warm-up game, essentially.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it. You know, we didn't see them run away with that game. Now, their running game is still really, really good. With the new offense, a lot more passing, you'd figure maybe we see less of Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi. Quite the opposite. Those two guys absolutely carried them. Both had an amazing game. And so that was kind of the takeaway. Like, okay, they're still going to use that as their identity. They're still going to run the ball. They have these stud runners, and they're going to stay after that. Tanner Mordecai, the new quarterback, he had a rough mm-hmm. game. He threw a couple interceptions. Didn't see a lot of downfield passes. One big play that fell apart because Skylar Bell dropped the ball. That would have been a 60-yard touchdown, but he wasn't happy with his performance either. There's a lot of room to grow here. And this next week, this next game is really tough. They lost to Washington State last year at Camp Randall. Now they're going to Pullman, Washington, to play a team that's got a really good quarterback, some experience. They obviously know what it's like to beat the Badgers. So this is a tough one. This is not just a gimme game. So I imagine they're going to be pretty focused on this one and would like to see some improvement from week one.
Okay. All right. Good to know. And then now Giannis is buying a golf league?
Yeah, it's like an indoor thing. It's like a skills thing for the winter. Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods have invested in it, and they're like the main investors. There's like four teams right now. Giannis is working with the Williams sisters, the tennis players, Serena and Venus. So a lot of superstars, a lot of great golfers that everyone knows are going to be involved. It should be a fun time, but I have no context for it because it's such a new thing.
So it's not like ex-golf where you're like...
It is a little.
Playing with your friends, but is it like actual professionals playing indoors?
That's correct. Yes. And it's not just the like X golf. It's more than that. It's an arena that was built for this thing. So it is a little different. The team that Giannis is involved with is in Los Angeles. There's one in Boston today. Actually, they just announced one for New York. I think Atlanta has the other one. That's right. So I think there's going to be six teams total, and it's all going to be in like Florida in this arena. It's going to be totally different, weird. I don't know if anyone will like it, but you know, golf in January, I could get behind it personally.
Gotta continue to innovate, right? We have the technology. All right,
and the money, apparently.
Radcliffe, thank you so much. We love always getting an update from you. We'll see you in about 2 weeks, probably like my last week before I leave.
Oh boy.
So thank you for your update.
You betcha. See you later.
See you next time. All right, we'll come back and wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah. Sports, go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, heroes. Go team, yeah.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And fun show.
Very fun. Very fast. It's always
very fast.
It's when it's funner, it's faster.
That's what they say about lots of things, right? Bring the fun, get through it faster.
Exactly.
And stab some comedy while you're at it.
While I'm here, I'm going to stab some comedy.
All right. Well, tomorrow I'm going to be in Madison tomorrow. So I finally get to see our fancy schmancy headquarters, WMDX on State Street. So I'm excited about that. And then our friend Luke Mathers is going to be here for our crossover. And you get to go against Luke for headlines. How are you feeling about that for tomorrow? Are you one and two? You're 1-1 right now, right?
I'm 1-1, and Luke is also my boss, so I really feel like I might be 1-2 tomorrow. Luke, if you're hearing this.
I feel like he's enough of a competitor that he would not want you to just give it to him. Right? Like, I feel like he would be upset if he knew you threw the game. Just for like points that he would still like you. I don't think that's how Luke functions.
Then what I'll do is I'll answer the question correctly, but then be like, "But your hair looks great, Luke."
There you go. Yeah, flatter him. That's probably a faster way to his heart.
Exactly.
Well, because it is Thursday, we were doing the Autoglass giveaway. We did not get to do three headlines and a lie. So would you like to participate in three headlines and a lie before we end today's show?
No pun intended. Oh, baby. Yeah.
How is that a pun?
You're pregnant.
Oh, gosh. That was a stretch. That was a stretch, Greg Bach.
Comedy.
All right. All right. Three headlines and a lie. Okay. Three of these headlines are real. One is fake. Greg, can you spot the fake one?
Okay.
Headline number one. Three-legged bear breaks into Florida home, drinks White Claw.
Okay.
That's number
Wait,
one.
Wait, Florida?
Yeah, Florida home.
Okay. That's.
I didn't know there was bears in Florida, if I'm being totally honest. But maybe there's not. Maybe that's the fake one.
All right.
Number two, Hurricane Idalia blows flamingos as far as Ohio.
Okay. Just poor,
a lot of animal.
Poor wording two for animal a headline, ones. But okay.
There's a lot of animal ones today. All right. Number three, he fought to keep an emotional support emu at his home and won.
Okay.
All right. And four, an octopus was taught to open an iPad app.
Oh, man.
All right, I'll read them again.
Okay.
These are your options.
Yeah.
Number one, three-legged bear breaks into Florida home, drinks White Claw. Number two, Hurricane Idalia blows flamingos as far as Ohio. Number three, he fought to keep an emotional support emu at his home and won. Number four, an octopus was taught to open an iPad app.
So last week, the fourth one was the lie. I don't think you made the same mistake twice. It wasn't a mistake. I don't think you make that. You do that twice, right? I'm going to go the back end around to the front. I'm going to say number one, no Florida bears.
That is not true. It is true. I mean, sorry, you were wrong. This is a true headline.
Thanks.
Three-legged bear known as Tripod. His name is Tripod, by the way, broke into a home over the weekend and decided to have a party. And they got it all, I guess, on their Ring camera. But three-legged bear and likes to party. So that one is real. So what is your second guess for the fake one?
Is it the octopus one?
It is the octopus
God!
One.
God!
Although I bet an octopus could open an iPad app. I don't feel like that seems like a stretch versus a hurricane blowing flamingos to Ohio feels like those poor flamingos. How did they live to tell about it?
I mean, if I could put my phone in my pocket and it can advance my audiobook 9 chapters ahead without doing anything, an octopus can open up an iPad app.
Absolutely. But yeah, flamingos have been spotted in the Midwest and eastern parts of the U.S. after being blown in by a storm. Birds thought to be from Mexico first started appearing in Florida and then made landfall as far north as Ohio. We've never seen anything like this, says Jerry Lorenz of the Bird Research Group, Abaddon, Florida. So now they've made a new home in go Bucks.
Not to insult... You know, I know we had a birder on a couple weeks ago.
And Buckeyes, sorry.
Yeah, get it right. It's the Ohio State.
Yeah, sorry.
Not to offend the birders out there. And Jane, I know, is going to be eventually her final form will be a birder. But flamingos are awful, nasty creatures.
Are they?
Yeah, they smell. They're mean. They're just, they look like 80s beautiful, but they are just nightmares to deal with. I've heard from people.
Have you dealt with many flamingos?
I've heard many of stories from people who work in zoos.
How many friends do you have that work in zoos? I have so many questions. You have three friends that work in a zoo?
I don't know if they work there anymore. This was years ago, but they worked at the zoo.
At the Brookfield Zoo?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Flamingos.
This took a turn.
Yeah.
My only experience with flamingos was on our honeymoon. We went to like a flamingo island where they're just like walking around and they seemed fine. You can feed them.
Yeah.
I didn't get bit.
Did you feed them?
I did.
Did they smell?
No.
That's weird. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe it's when they're in the zoo that they, they're protesting. They're protesting their captivity.
I won't
captivity.
Take a shower, and you won't let me stab comedy.
All right. Then finally, he fought to keep an emotional support emu at his home and won. Nicholas Olenek waged a months-long legal battle to keep Nimbus to help him with his depression, but his victory was bittersweet. So this is from Washington Post. We'll put all of these in today's show notes if you would like to get the story behind the story, but there is no story behind an octopus opening an iPad yet.
Yeah,
I'm sure someone's working on it.
I knew the emotional support animal one was absolutely true.
Why?
Because that's just, I mean, you hear that story every few months now. Emotional support peacock on a plane. Emotional support. Do you know that?
An emu named Nimbus.
That just sounds like a wonderful, that sounds like the name of a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we have to wrap up today's show. Thank you to everyone who called. Thank you to everyone who was here and texting and listening. Thank you to J.R. Radcliffe for our sports update, Dr. Kristen Lyerly with our public service announcement, and Trigvi Olson for giving his thoughts on what the hell is going on with our Wisconsin Republican Party, of which he used to be an integral part of. And so all three of those guests will be back either next week, 2 weeks, sometime soon. Thank you for being part of the show. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Tell me lies, tell me sweet lies.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers. How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. It is hot or hotter in most of the lower 48. The late summer heat is perhaps most extreme in the Southwest, especially much of Texas. At least 14 people have died from heat-related causes since July around Fort Worth.
A majority of the people who died from the heat across the county this summer were over the age of 60 and were found in homes without working AC or where the AC was turned off. Meals on Wheels of Tarrant County works with TXU and Tarrant County to install free air conditioners for the elderly. They say they've seen an uptick in requests for AC units this summer.
KTVT TV's Olivia Leach. Cities up and down the East Coast have been dealing with schools that are way too hot. A new study shows large numbers of young children hurt, even killed in recent years in car crashes because they're not kept secure enough.
What the analysis